This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2017, held in Sugar Creek, Ohio on March 3 and 4.
When Jonas asked us last year if we would consider doing this, if we would consider telling you all how we have benefited from coming to this event, and I think this is our 10th year to come to this event as a school. And in fact, at our school, we've made it a requirement for the school board to travel to this event every year. And so far, that's been working out great. It's we commit the resources to the school to make that happen. But when Jonas asked me about that, I thought, wow, he is a genius marketer. I think what Jonas really wanted is to figure out a way to recruit more school board members to this event. I have a couple questions. How many of you have been coming to, how many of you, this is your first event? Oh, wow, lots of hands. I'm so sorry. How many of you have been here at least 3 years? Oh, nice. Nice amount of hands. How many of you have been here more than 5 years? Few hands. How many of you have been here for 10 years? Let's do that again and look around. How many of you have been here for 10 years? Okay, this is exactly, I think, the point of this session right here. And we have been beneficiaries at our school, Osceola Christian School in Grandview, in Osceola, Texas, in many ways from this event. And Jonas is right. We do have a plan, and our plan is pretty simple. And so I would like to give you a little bit of that plan and flesh out a few parts of that. I will give the main meat of this, and I will turn over to Ernie. Ernie, if you would stand, and Sam, if you would stand. So we comprise the school board for our school, and then we have our school board principal here as well, Jacob Peters. Okay, he's in the back here, and he's an energetic school board principal and a great teacher, and I think he's committed to work for us for 40 years. Haven't gotten in writing yet, but we're working on the contract part of that. So I would like to go back and look at just a little bit of a few of the things that Philip Horst said this morning. And I think he did an extremely good job of laying out to you why you should come to this event. So if there's not... I work a lot with vision statements. Our school does have a vision statement. By the way, how many of your schools has a vision statement? Okay, that's great. That's encouraging. Okay, so how many of you have, those of you that raised your hands, have it written down? Okay, about the same, so that's good. Very true. If you have a vision statement and if you don't concisely say that and give the elevator speech on that, you probably don't have one. And it has done us a lot of good. We wrote ours down and hammered through the difficult work of creating a vision statement, a mission statement, setting out what our core values was, and then creating a process and a strategic plan for our school. And that has served us incredibly well. That work is probably the primary thing that helped onboard the rest of our congregation and the brotherhood to really get behind the work of the school. Let me give you just a little bit of background. I've served on the school board, I forget if it's 11 years, 12 years, at least 10 years, because I've been coming here for 10, probably closer to 12. And when I started, I actually started midterm. One of the other board members moved, and so I took over his place. And I wasn't part of the board long until it became very apparent that we had a problem on our hands. And we had a situation that unfortunately was all too typical, and I find that situation being addressed across the conservative Anabaptist groups, and I think it's probably less of a problem today than it was back then, or at least I sure hope so. But that was that we had an energetic, inspired teacher that... He was the vision and the mission of the school, and his job was he tried hard to communicate to the board what they needed to know so that they could support him in the school. That's a problem. If the bearers of your vision and if the bearers of your mission in your school are your teachers, your school principal, you have a problem. Now, I most certainly hope that they're a part of the vision and a part of the mission, but if your school board is only placeholders, and God forbid you got elected to the school board office because you weren't doing nothing else in church, and if that's what you're doing as a school board, I pity your school. And if that's where your school board is, you need to come to this event for 10 years. We were at a very low spot. How many of you currently have a lot of homeschool in your communities? A few. I venture to say that that question and the amount of hands that went up 10, 15 years ago could have looked quite differently. How many of you have experienced a serious decline in homeschool families in your communities over the last 10 years? Well, maybe I'm a little more alone in that than I thought. So, and maybe it's a more a West, but in our community, we had a lot of homeschool, and I realize some of your communities don't even allow homeschool, so that might play into it. At our church, it was either way. So you could homeschool, you could send them to school, and there was several churches around, and we all took the same stance. Our school, the year after I became a part of the board, it was a year or 2 years, I forget now, come very close to shutting down. Very close to shutting down. In fact, I think there was maybe only 3 families left that were going to send their children to school. The rest of them had pulled their children out of school because things not going well. Just it wasn't all because of a vision for homeschool. You with me? And so it the as a school board, we became very burdened for that. And at a brothers' meeting, someone brought up, why should we pay for this school venture out of the general fund when all the rest of us have to pay for our homeschool by ourselves? Valid thought. Well, that sent us as a school board to our knees. And I felt quite strongly that about the need for a church-run school and the need for a good solid school in our community that would serve our families in the days to come. Now, you got to understand, we had a very interesting dynamic that I'm not sure that everybody was thinking about at the time, but we had just had a number of young people get married, and we had a lot of young families, and I asked them, do you know what's going to happen? You know, today, when in our Sunday school at church, we have how many school age and under? Sunday school's like 110 and just children. And so can you imagine what's going on? And we're a small community. We're not one of these mega churches back east here. Mennonite mega churches. We're a small church, and so we had some rapid growth. 6 years, 10 years, from that point later, there was no homeschool families left in church. And we were at 40-some this year. We're at 54, and enrollments for next year are right around 70. And so I know that's not a very big school, but that's a huge change for us. Well, there's a lot of work that had to go in to go from where we were, almost closing down our school, to getting things turned around, getting the support of the Brotherhood. The very next year, we were able to not only hire the men teachers we wanted to, but pay them a decent salary because of the vision that changed in the Brotherhood. That vision statement, we just follow the process that you talked about. And let me tell you, it worked. It worked. But as was mentioned, when we're working on the school board, it's on our list of already a long list of nonprofit things that we do. And it takes a lot of energy for the board. And for us, coming to this event has given us a place that we could practice what has become a powerful tool for us. And this is what I'd really like to rivet in your minds. We do to sum up how we do this, is we do PDCA. And for those of you in business, you're familiar with this term. It's an old term in business. Plan, do, check, adjust. Plan, do, check, adjust. And you create a method by which you do that on a consistent basis. And so as a board, we look at our 5 and 10 year goals and make sure that we have a plan, and then we break out of that what's right for the next year. So we plan that, then we do that, but you know, too many times it's easy to stop right there. But we come back in and then we check that. For us to come here and interact with this whole group that has grown a lot over the years, I'm so impressed to interact with all of you and to learn the things that we are able to learn from you, and then to go back and incorporate those into our plan. The adjust part, plan, do, check, and then adjust. And I don't know if there's been any year that we've been here and have participated in this event that we didn't end up going back and making some adjustments. In fact, it's kind of become the thing. So, school board's back from CASB, what's now? But it has built a level of confidence, and it has built a level of, it has done something for our local group to see the commitment of the board to where they stand 100% behind us, and they're willing to commit the resources to make this possible for us. And the group working together with the board, what we have today is we have a school that is run by the board. So I know there's different organizational structures, but as a board, we take the vision and mission that our church has, translate that into what it means for our school, and then we have a very robust, I would say, process for hiring and onboarding our staff. And I think that is very crucial. That structure works completely different than if you have a passive board that is being told by the teachers what needs to be done. And teachers, please do not get me wrong. We depend very heavily on input from you to know how to create our plan and how to be. I never sat on your side of the desk. Now, Ernie has, and we value that experience. If your board has at least one teacher, someone that has been a teacher at some point, at least, I find that very valuable. So we have one that has been, two of us have not been, But as a board, we're the bearers of the vision. And so when we look to hire, when we look to bring in staff, we measure it. Our whole process has to conform with what our vision and mission is, what our core values is, and what we're really trying to accomplish. And so as we go through the hiring process, it gives us a lot of clarity because we're not doing what's so easy to do. Oh, we just, you know, oh, we got to hire teachers again. Oh, and how are we going to get, you know, do you have any new names? Mr. Chairman, have you found anybody yet? And next thing you know, you're at the end of school, you're still missing one teacher. And we all know as a board the difficulty and the hard work that goes into hiring. How about we work at this a couple years in advance? And I could not agree more with what you said, Philip, about what happens in between those two walls. And let me tell you, that was a side benefit that I didn't see coming down the pike. When we call teachers now and we say, hey, we got this lead, someone gave us your contact information, would you be interested in coming teach? Let us tell you a little bit about our school. And yes, we do the sales pitch, you just can't keep from it. And it's kind of fun to do that when you know you have something that's attractive. But to get from the other end of the line, we've done the research on you. We would like to teach in your school. Wow. So let me wrap up with just a few other things here, and then I'd like to turn the time over to Ernie and Sam. So many of you here, if not most of you here, are community builders. And your interest in what's going on at school is much more than just getting through this year. And if you're here, you're probably for the most part thinking right, or you at least represent someone that is. We have to think long term, and I want to bring something in here that just happened in the last few months for us. So some of you may have heard of one of the effects that this group has had on us is that we now have in Texas and the surrounding states, Texas Teachers Conference. And we just had our 7th annual. So we were here a few years, and I thought that the CASB board should come down to Texas and do this because we were having a hard time getting everybody up here. And the CASB board, do your own thing down there. And so Texas Teachers Conference is kind of a combination of a teachers institute and a board institute. And we just had our 7th annual event, and our event is growing. There was a need there. I think first year, there was maybe 20 people. And this last year, this past event, there was 130 some. Now, you got to understand, for Texas, where there's very few conservative Anabaptist groups, that's quite a few. And we even had some people from Ohio. Wow. Hey, to all of you schools from Ohio and Pennsylvania, there's good stuff happening in Texas. And let me tell you, that inspiration came from this group. And we had the support from this group, and we had the mentorship from this group for that to happen. But let me tell you a sobering truth that I ran into at the last Texas Teachers Conference, and it has to do with Jonas Sauter. You okay, Jonas? May I speak on? Okay, you're sitting down. Okay. And I didn't get the board's approval for this. I was on the TTC board in the founding years, and I think for 6 years, it was a happy day for me when I handed that over, and I no longer serve on that board, and to see it going on with even much more life than what it started is very encouraging for me. But I always like to attend, so I was at this last event, and I sat in practically all the sessions, at least all the sessions that I could, because I couldn't be at two places at one time. But at the end, when we got in the, I want to say surveys, but the evaluation forms, thank you. When we got the evaluation forms, Jonas, your evaluation score was too low. And that made no sense to me. And we looked at that and we started digesting that and we started... Now, I sat in your sessions, and I sit in a lot of sessions, and I gave your session a very high rating. And so it created a problem for me that others didn't. Let me tell you what I perceive that's going on. And this is a question that I'm bringing to you, and I want this group to think through this, and I want to come up with some group answers to this question. Unfortunately, for far too many sitting in the audience, let me tell you, his presentations were awesome. He had some content that if you're a business owner, you're paying big bucks to get somebody in to talk about these things and get this kind of stuff training for your company. And I don't know how much you got paid for that event, but I hope you at least covered your expenses. There was a lot of value there, but you know, I think what happened? We had far too many in the audience that it just went right over the top of their head. Are you tracking with me? I'm wondering if we have a problem. Now, I have a construction background, and I always enjoyed cutting rafters. But when I was 16 and cutting rafters, my last one always ended up too short. I hear some chuckles. You know what I'm talking about. I think there's something that has happened in our collective conservative Anabaptist groups that maybe we need to do some more stretching. Maybe our teachers, maybe our school board members, maybe our communities, which we're all a part of, maybe we really need to take a good hard look at why Jonas Sauter could give such a tremendous exposition and talk about some very core important principles, and people gave him a low evaluation for content. I want you to think about that. I'll turn it over to Ernie. And by the way, I'm looking for an answer from you collectively as a group. I want to understand what happened there.
So like Leland said, we come to CASB for multiple reasons. We specifically come for answers. And so I echo what Leland says there. If you have some advice for us, if you have some things to say, please tell us. First of all, the assigned topic was how we benefit by attending CASB. So I'll give you just a testimony of one of the things that we benefited by attending CASB. We had a problem in our school where email groups and text chains and those kind of things were not getting information out. We did not have a central place for data. And this was a problem. We didn't have a solution. And kind of in the back of your mind, whenever we get some time, when we have a board meeting, when we're not just covered up dealing with other issues, we need to fix this problem. We came to CASB, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, and Sycamore School System was introduced. How many of you were here and heard that? I'll see, somebody needs to give this presentation every year. So Sycamore School System was presented. We went, researched it, went home, implemented it, and it has served our school well. And we continue to find new ways to use it. And there's things that we still need to implement. We're busy. But that was a nugget. We had a problem. We had a need. And we came here and somebody presented an exact solution for what we were looking for. Put it in place. It served us well. In my previous talk here, I surveyed the group that I had. And I want to survey this whole group again. How many of you are business owners or in some sort of position of leadership in a company? I want to see your hands. All right? Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you go to some sort of trade association? I want to see your hands. Okay. Everybody that raised your hands, you know the value. Okay, somebody tell me, why do you go to those trade associations? Education? Why else? Networking? Why else? New techniques? Why else? Inspiration? Relationships? All right, those answers are the exact same reason you need to be at CASB. If you are not participating, you're all scoreboard members. That's why you're here. And if you're not participating in the Trade Association for school boards, you need to be. And I've been coming for, I believe this is 8 or 9 years for me. And it bothers me sometimes that I see new people here all the time. So I know it's a little different for us. We're in Texas. We get on an airplane regardless of where it is because CASB, if you have noticed, does never come to Texas. And so for us, getting a ticket to Indiana or Ohio or Pennsylvania makes no difference in the price. It's just a different destination. But I would challenge all of you to put a travel budget together to go to CASB every year. You need this. The things that you're going to learn today will help your school. You need to come to CASB. If you feel it necessary in your business to go to a trade association, then you should feel it necessary to go to CASB for the benefit of your school and your community. And some of these were, some of the other things that I wrote down have been covered. Networking, coming and meeting the same people, interacting. There's faces that I've seen here year after year, and we've developed a relationship. We talk, we catch up. I learned something new, or I have a question. And if we have some time, we're going to get into that a little bit later, I think. But just a little bit about the way we do things. I know Leland covered this a little bit, but throughout the year, issues come up that relate to your school that you're not quite sure how to handle, something that you haven't done before, and you think, well, I wonder how other people do this. Have you ever thought that? You ever wonder how somebody else handles this problem? All right, so we write it down. That's a CASB question. All right, we came with, I think there's 13 questions on the list. We don't get an opportunity. Jonas doesn't allow us to come up front every time and ask you these questions. So we all are assigned to, in our conversation, let's find out what other schools are doing about this. There's no need for us to reinvent the wheel every time. We need to come, and there's so many schools that are larger than our school, that have been running longer than our school, that have valuable input for us. And so we come with those questions. And then for us, we always usually have an airplane ride here. And so when we get to the airport, on the way back to the airport, when we get to the airport, it's usually when we do it. Get there before the flight, we sit down, usually have supper together, and we talk about, what did you learn? What did you hear? What are you seeing? And we debrief when it's very close on our minds. We take that information, and then we also process it throughout the school term as we need, and then usually a new set of questions arises out of that. So not only do we come and we ask questions, but we also take that information and figure out a way to apply it to our school. So we have a little bit of time left. I'm going to turn it over to Sam for a few minutes, and then I'll wrap up with a few things.
I've been on the board we have 3-year terms, and I'm serving on the 8th year for this year. And part of the why of why we do this and what CASB does for us is that this is all for God's glory and for raising 21st century kingdom builders, and that's our children. That job is on us as school boards and pastors and the school. And that's part of what CASB has done for us, is help us to realize part of that. The Ecclesiastes writer, Ecclesiastes 1:9, says, "The thing that has been, it is, that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done." And the last part of that verse is, "And there is no new thing under the sun." The problems that we have at school, the issues, the things to work through, that's all been figured out at one time in the lifespan of life and people living and doing school. And it's just a matter of asking the right questions and asking the old patriarchs and the people that have been doing it for years and years, what did you do with this problem? What was your solution to this problem? How did you overcome that objective? How did you work through it? And that's been a big, big help for us in being under the influence of people like Jonas, who's been doing it for his lifetime, and made it his life goal to being the education industry. Also, you are what you eat and what you take in. And this is very, very valuable in training for the board. Lots of good information is here. And there's lots of things learned on our part as we take back from here, as we sit and take in and learn all that. And it helps in your day-to-day administration. You'll be sitting there. You'll be dealing with issues. And there'll be a little nugget of gold, a little nugget of truth that'll come to you and say, this is how that works. With us as a school board, our school is fairly young. It's about 12, 13 years old. I'm on the board now for 8 years. I'm serving my eighth term. So if you have a fledgling school and the fledgling school board, you're really looking for answers, and you really have to look around and look and look. And this has been a very, very great outlet for that, and an information and networking experience for us as a board to be able to do that and just network that way. The other thing I want to point out, and this is very, very key, is when you take 3 days off and all you do is focus on school, how to make it better, how to bring to the table what your patrons are asking for, there's a lot of good things that can happen. And it's kind of our quiet time to step back and listen from God, listen from just all the happenings, bring everything to the table and just talk about it. And when that happens and you focus that amount of time on it, and your patrons see that you are taking it, your responsibility, is that important to you that you're willing to take off 3 days out of your schedule to put towards this effort? It really, really tells them that you are taking this responsibility seriously, and it's a serious responsibility that you have. One more point is having access and being under the influence of people that have been doing this for a lifetime. There's a lot of experience here, years of bench depth, and it's very, very well worth your time for all you newcomers to come and just sit down and take in. Turn your cup up, ask God to open your heart, open the doors. God will answer, and there's a lot here. I'll turn the time over to Ernie.
So I don't want to be selfish, and so if there's things that you would like to learn from us coming to CASB, please let us know. We want to contribute. We want to give back as well. So I wanted to share with you briefly, along those lines, a lot. There wasn't every hand raised that your school has a vision and mission statement. So I'll read ours for you, and hopefully that gives you some ideas for yours. Our vision is to see young Christian men and women that find true meaning in daily life and are well prepared to meet the challenges and opportunities of 21st century kingdom building. Our mission is to provide a Christ-centered school that assists parents in educating their children in social skills, character development, and the core academics. And our core values are: each child will be respected as an individual and viewed as a recruit for the kingdom. Teachers will be carefully chosen and prepared for the challenges of training and teaching young individuals for God's kingdom. We commit to work in harmony with the parents of the students, assisting them in educating their children. We resolve to carefully guard the structure, the atmosphere, and to maintain a safe environment for our students. That's just our example. We have just a few minutes here, and because you have graciously allowed us this opportunity to come, I would like to take this opportunity to maybe present a few of our questions. And hopefully out of this group of, it looks like around 200 people, some of you might have some answers for us. And those of you that care about something on this list, please, you've met all three of us standing up here, give us some feedback, help us with it. I don't think I'll take time to read them all, but one issue that we're looking at is the issue of CAT test. Is the state's standardized testing and the way that general society tests children, does that have any bearing on how we rate our school or our CAT test? Do they continue to be relevant? Are they important? You can ask if you don't understand that question. We have some issues in second grade with comprehension, and we would love to find some new ideas and what we're doing wrong, how we can increase that. It ties in with this, but we have an issue with BSR versus Rod and Steph. This is a curriculum question where that we're struggling with, first grade, second grade. It's obviously not all of you can speak to this, but if you do, we'd love to hear. And probably a big one that has come up over and over and over again is grading. Every teacher tends to grade a little bit different. And so we have parents that have students in school for 10, 15 years, whatever it is, and those report cards over the lifetime when their first child enters first grade till their last child graduates, your results. And if you're a person like Leland and I that love to study reports and your report is changing, how can we get consistency in grading? What can we do to give our teachers the tools that they need to give us consistent answers to the question we're asking, which is, how is my child doing? Would love to hear some feedback on that. In the last number of years, we've implemented a high school, and we need to learn more about how other high schools are doing things. And the issue of subject-based teaching versus classroom teaching. One of our teachers, or actually most of our teachers now, use some sort of financial reward system and penalty system in their classroom. What have other schools done with that? Has it worked? Has it been a negative experience? Are we treading on thin ice here? How to deal with special needs child that doesn't want to be in a class by themselves, or just in general, how are you dealing with special needs children? Is it important for teachers to do their own checking, or can you have assistants come in and check? Do you ask the teachers or the principal to be the main contact with parents regarding their child's behavior or performance? What is best? Is that the teacher's job, or can the principal get involved, or does it need to go through the board? Here again, some of these questions might sound elementary. You just need to figure this out. But we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We would love input. We would love advice from some of you. And I know some of you have been on the board for, in my earlier session, 16 years was the longest that someone was on the board. That's a lot of wisdom that we can gain from that. How many students or grades is reasonable for a teacher's load? We all are in the space of private schools, and private schools focus on the teacher-to-student ratio. What do you find in your school works best for a teacher-to-student ratio? How many of you schools have a 12-month paid teacher versus a 9-month paid teacher? Do you keep your teachers year-round? Do you just keep them for the year that they have and hope that they can find something else during the summer? What works? What doesn't work? If you keep your teachers year-round, what do they do during the summer? What are some critical tasks that you need to get done or that they can do for you? So please, my time is up, but if you have any advice for us, seek out one of the three of us and give us advice. Thank you, Jonas, for allowing us to bring our questions to the whole group. And we have greatly, greatly benefited by being here. Continue to benefit. Thank you so much to the Planning Committee for CASB. It means a lot to us, and we enjoy it every year. Thank you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.